Thank you for tuning in to episode 29 of the Prepare Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah McCullough. The Prepare Podcast is a Salvation Army podcast where we meet with women of faith and in ministry as they share their experiences and wisdom to prepare and equip us in our faith pursuits and callings. On behalf of the Central Women THQ team, I want to wish you a very happy new year. 2018 is a big deal for Central Women, as this is the year of Arise and Shine Women's Conference. Hashtag Central Women Arise. For episode 29, I am talking with Kristen Schell. Kristen will be at the Arise and Shine Women's Conference. She's the featured guest for our pre-conference that takes place on Friday afternoon, October 12th. Kristen is based in Austin, Texas, where she lives with her husband and four kids. She is the leader of the Turquoise Table Movement, which is a community-building lifestyle that Kristen started in her front yard when she decided she wanted to know her neighbors better. She will share with us at the pre-conference about community building and leadership. Enjoy getting to know Kristen in this month's episode. Hi, Kristen. Welcome to the Prepare Podcast.
Hello. Thank you.
It is such an honor to have you on the Salvation Army podcast that we produce up here in Illinois for our Midwest sisters and beyond. And, you know, we're really excited for 2018, and you're a part of our 2018. You're going to be the featured guest at our pre-conference at the Arise and Shine Conference, October 12th through the 14th. So we'll have a Friday afternoon with you. We're going to have lunch with you. We're going to hear from you, and you're going to share about your ministry that you have down in Austin, Texas, called the Turquoise Table, right?
Yes. Oh, I can't wait.
So just take a few minutes and introduce yourself to our listeners.
Well, I am Kristen, but most people don't know my name. They know me as the Turquoise Table Lady.
Yeah.
And that is because 4 years ago, it'll be five by the time that we're at the conference. But 4 years ago, I put an ordinary picnic table, just the kind you've seen everywhere, in my front yard, painted it turquoise, because that's my favorite color, and put it right at the very edge of our street in the hopes of bringing people together in community and as a way to get to know our neighbors and to do life together.
What was the inspiration? I mean, obviously you just said to get to know them, but were you, I'm sorry if I missed this, were you new to the neighborhood, or what was, take us a few steps back.
Yep. Great question. So no, Tony is my husband, and we have four children, and we have been in this neighborhood all of our married life, and we just celebrated 20 years. So the neighborhood wasn't new, but what we noticed was that we only knew like a handful of people around us, and the people that we knew were the people that were just like us. So like I knew, you know, and have great relationships with several of the other moms of kids, and it was wonderful. I mean, but then I started wondering, like, well, every third house or fourth house, like, I had zero clue who lived there. And I don't know, you just had a point in your life where you want to know, like, you know, what am I doing? Does it matter? And the sense of place. And it was kind of half nostalgia and half looking forward. Like, I remembered growing up, like, we would play outside until it was dark, and we all knew our neighbors. And, you know, I just distinctly remember, you know, knowing that if I didn't like what my mom was making for dinner, I could run over to the Webers or to the Marshalls and find out what they were having for dinner. And it was just this different space and time. So there was a nostalgia to it. And then there was also this sort of looking forward, as Tony and I, you know, were and still are raising our kids. This whole newness of like digital age and technology and all of these new ways of communicating, right? And so I noticed that we weren't outside in our front yards as much, and that, you know, we were not only were we communicating with other people well, but like I had a better relationship on social media with some of my neighbors than I did with just like kind of talking across the curb, so to speak. And so it wasn't all of a sudden that I put the table out. It was really, you know, a couple of years of just sort of pondering, like, what is this all? Is this all that, like, you know, that we're, is meant to be in this space? And so God answers prayers in kind of crazy and winsome ways. And so I was having a party with a friend of mine, and I needed a picnic table. And so I ordered one, and when they delivered it, they put it in the front yard, and it was like this, this big what if, like this what if we left after the party, put it back in the front yard, and we just started kind of living life more visibly, like still doing all the same things, like homework and meals and, you know, projects and things out front. So not adding something to our already crazy busy to-do list, but what if we were just to do it and invite others to kind of come alongside in a simple place? And that is how the turquoise table was born.
So how did your neighbors respond to this bright, colored picnic table in the front yard?
Right. Well, first of all, I am in Austin, Texas, and our motto, our city motto, is keep Austin weird. So I knew that I might have like a little bit of leeway, right? Because, you know, I was like, okay, well, if I can get away with it, I'll get away with it, you know, in Austin and just think it's weird. But they loved it is the short answer. They really did. And as soon as I explained kind of this hypothesis of what if we just hung out, nobody has to clean the kitchen, nobody has to plan something, there's no big, you know, event to put on, it's just, hey, come out when you can and as long as you can. And they were like, oh, that is so freeing, you know. And so as soon as we started sharing with you know, kind of all of our neighbors, it really very quickly became just this happy, welcoming place. And I didn't know it at the time, but turquoise is the color of friendship.
Oh, really?
So, isn't that fun? Yeah. And so that goes back to Native American tradition. And I had no idea. One of our community members let me know that. And I thought, ah, that is just...
How perfect.
It is so perfect, you know? I just liked it. So it's a good thing I still like turquoise, right?
Yeah, that works out so well. Well, you know, I have so many follow-up questions, but I want our listeners, I want to leave them wanting more.
Yes.
Because I want them to make it the pre-conference of Arise and Shine a priority, and I want them to come hear the rest of your story. But the last thing about that I do want to ask is, how did your faith lead you to this front yard movement?
Well, this was where it really was, it became sort of a dance with God, if you will. And so I knew that we were called to live on mission, and I sort of assumed that I would go far and wide, right? So I thought maybe I would, you know, our family might be called into, you know, mission work or ministry somewhere far. What I never expected was for him to answer by saying, just go out in your front yard, and that is a mission field. And so that was one of the things that you know, is how he answered my prayers and mine and Tony's of, you know, what, how are we called to, and what can we do to serve you? The other thing is, and this is what I'll go into at the conference more, but it really was, I was sort of at a crossroads. I knew that we were called to be in mission. And for me, I was learning the gift of hospitality. God had even planted, you know, and etched a verse on my heart, which is the hospitality verse in Romans 12:13. But, oh my goodness, I could not for the life of me figure out how to make it all work. You know, like I would try to invite people into the home, or I would host parties or Bible studies or all these things. And I just felt like I was a big fat failure the whole time. Like I would be tired, or, you know, things wouldn't go as planned, and I just knew that I was missing something, but I couldn't figure out what. And so that's when, you know, God really intervened. And I won't give away, you know, the beautiful moment that he showed me, you know, in discipleship, but it really was it was simple. And it was just to trust that I have, that, you know, that we, all of us have everything that we need to be in community with one another. And so it was kind of like he had to strip it down and say, do you trust me that you can just go outside in your front yard at this picnic table and everything else will fall into place? So that's how God and I have decided, well, I chose to say yes, you know, to his invitation, to his table. It's his table. And so it's been a delight and a joy. And I'm so in awe, because I never imagined that there would be turquoise tables in all 50 states and 7 countries.
Wow. And that's why you are the perfect guest for our pre-conference, because you really hit on our two main focuses of the pre-conference, that community building piece and the leadership piece, because you might not have expected when you started this to become this real national leader of this movement, but you are.
No way. Yeah, no. But I think that's the beautiful thing of it, is that, you know, all throughout scripture, you know, God didn't choose, you know, I mean, he chose shepherds, mm-hmm. and, you know, just ordinary, normal people, and then equipped them and gave them everything they need. And that is very much the case with me, because, yeah, no, I didn't wake up thinking, oh, I'll be a leader.
Right. Well, again, I just, folks listening, put it on your save the date. Mark March 12th on your calendar. That's when registration opens, because we've only got 200 spots for the pre-conference. So you are going to want to register ASAP on March 12th. Okay, well, let's get to know Kristen a little bit better. For all the listeners that are new, what we do on the Prepare Podcast, and just a reminder, the Prepare Podcast is designed to meet with women of faith and in ministry to prepare and equip us listeners in our faith pursuits and callings. So we're just going to get to know Kristen a little better about her life. And so our format is she's going to kind of fill in the blank three times with the statement, "If you knew me, you would know." So, Kristen, let's do the first level. If you knew me, you would know.
Food is my love language.
You know what? I think that the last three guests, that's been their first one. Yes. I love it. Us ladies love our food. Okay, tell us about it.
We do. Oh, goodness. There is nothing that makes me happier than cooking and bringing people together, you know, for a good meal. And whether it's just, you know, opening up, you know, a can of, you know, prepared salsa and delicious, you know, queso and chips, because remember, I'm in Texas. Or if it's really, you know, taking the time to prepare something from scratch, it doesn't matter. It just the presentation and gathering people, you know, around food is just what it thrills me. It really, really does.
So was that modeled for you at a growing up, or something that someone introduced you along the way?
It was not, which is the interesting thing. And my mother and I laugh about this now, because Mom and I are, you know, we are just together almost all the time. But even I grew up in my formative years in the late 70s and early 80s. And even then, like, lifestyles were crazy and just busy. And so it actually came about. So to the point there was that we were already sort of dabbling in fast food and finding it hard to sit down at the table. And so this is kind of where my aha moment, my love affair with food began. When I was 15 years old, I flunked French in high school, and flunking French, as a sophomore, wasn't really an option. And so, especially because they were like, well, doesn't your daughter, won't she want to go to college? And so anyway, long story short, I ended up in a teeny tiny town in France, Arnon, France, on an immersion program, which it sounds like, yes, wow, like, oh, that's a dream come true. But y'all, I was a homebody. I didn't like to go on sleepovers. I didn't like sleepaway camp. I was the camper that called and they had to come get me. So, like, yes, it sounds like a dream right now, but, like, you know, at 14 and 15 years old, it's awful. Plus, remember, I'm flunking French. So to go to a language, or to a place where you don't speak the language, like, that was not much fun.
But brave. Oh my gosh.
Well, that's now. I mean, you know, then I was just like, I was like, I didn't have a choice. So I remember it was probably the third night that I was there with my host family. And remember, literally, I think I couldn't even say bonjour, you know, which is hello. And so I'm sitting around this table, and for anybody who's listening, if that you've ever been to a foreign culture, I mean, the mealtime is so much different. It's so, it lingers, and meals in France would last 2 and 3 hours. And, you know, the family, there were three siblings and this family that I was placed in, and they all sat there and everybody, like, chatted for hours. And I was like, wow, I mean, we do that at Christmas sort of and at Easter sort mm-hmm. of, but not on like a Tuesday night just because, right? And so that's where my love affair really with food and bringing people to the table, like that's where it all began. Mm-hmm. And in this teeny tiny town, over just home cooked meals, it was a love affair that it's just the Lord has kept it in my heart.
You know, you reminded me of, so of course, as you're saying this, I'm kind of like running through my own mind, like where did, cause I also enjoy that. I wouldn't say it's a big calling or, something the Lord's placed on me, but I do love so much sitting around the table and talking and eating, especially eating. And mine kind of got started, my first year living in the dorms at college, where that was kind of like the landing pad for a bunch of us, where we would just get our food and stick around the cafeteria for so long. And that was like pre-smartphones. So we were just talking it up. And I miss that.
I do too. It's just this craving and this longing. And I think, but that's where we're called to be. I mean, in fellowship and breaking bread and communion with one another. So I think it's whether it's, everyone's actual love language, mm-hmm. But I do think that whether as host or as guest, there is a desire for most people to be included in that kind of an experience.
So how have you shared that with your own family, just like in the day-to-day Tuesday, week after week, have you been able to incorporate that into your family's lifestyle?
Yes. And that changes with seasons of life and seasons of age, of the kids. So, right, we have four children, like I said, and now three of them are in high school, and our oldest, Will, is he's a senior, and so, we're in this sort of, as a mother, I'm sort of in the last, it's like, oh my goodness, this last time and this last whatever. And so our meals, I'm holding on to it sort of in a different way than 10 years ago, let's say, when they were younger. And it was just, I wanted them, quite frankly, to be able to sit still for 15 minutes and at least know what a dinner table was. Like that, there's a time and a place. Like, I don't want anybody to think that like we sit around and do that because, oh my goodness, some nights it's just, literally 15 minutes, kind of get to the table. But it's just that ritual of knowing that it can happen, not that it always does, mm-hmm. There are nights now where the kids don't get home until really, really late. Will just told me this morning that his soccer game isn't until 8:30 tomorrow night. Like, that's crazy, right? Mm-hmm. So it is, it depends on ages and stages and different seasons in life. Mm-hmm. Sometimes breakfast has been the time when it was convenient for us to get together. It just depends, what we've done. But we've always tried to make it a focus. Mm-hmm. And there are seasons of highs and seasons of lows, of course.
Yeah.
I quit saying seasons of success and failures because I don't want to, I don't want to set ourselves up for failures. But I do think we have to have grace with it. But that has always been something, that we strive for in our family.
Beautiful. Okay, so let's go to the next level. Kristen, if we knew you, we would know.
Well, this is set up perfectly because what I was thinking was that if you knew me, you would know that as a distracted mother of four, the truth is that I spend as much or more time in my minivan than we do around the kitchen table.
Mm.
And that's true. But I think it's interesting, because I didn't really plan these out, these if you knew me, prompts. But, there's the desire and knowing that food is my love language, but then there's the reality. Like, where is it that we live in life? And right now, I do find that I'm carpooling mm-hmm. as much as I am at the kitchen table. And that's okay too. We've had many, many wonderful meals around our kitchen table as a family. And I know, and I pray there will be many more. But sometimes, like I said, in these seasons, you know, you're in the minivan.
Do you have any, you know, funny story, a minivan moment?
Oh, my goodness.
That sounds like it could be a series on a podcast.
Here we go. Yeah. Minivan moments. There it is. Or a chapter or something. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Well, you know, and the best is just when God, when I notice how God is humbling me, you know. And so, for example, I remember as I was writing, you know, the book at one point, too. I mean, we were literally living off of two sources of meals because I couldn't cook and bring the family together and write the book. And so Chick-fil-A is one of them. And y'all have Chick-fil-A, right?
Yeah, we do. Just recently.
Sure. Okay. Well, thank you. So Chick-fil-A drive-through. And then the other that we relied on, which is just hilarious, is there's a woman in our neighborhood who every week she cooks a finite number of meals. So like, let's say 20. I don't know what number it is, but she does just one recipe. So this week, actually, I happen to know because I ordered it. It's chicken spaghetti. So she'll make 20, you know, family-sized portions of chicken spaghetti. And the first 20 people that, you know, kind of RSVP to an email can come by and buy them on Thursdays.
No way.
So isn't that awesome? In fact, that's an incredible idea. I think somebody, you know, if you're looking to, if food is your love language too, and you have the time, you know, to do this to make some extra money. But I love it because I was humbled, maybe it's not such a minivan story, but I remember thinking as I'm driving around, either driving through Chick-fil-A and or driving to this neighbor's house to pick these things up, how humbling it was, because I'm like, I'm not even cooking and I'm writing a book on bringing to the people to the table for food, you know, and my kids, it was not lost on them either. You know, they're like, oh yeah, here's the hospitality mama who's like going through Chick-fil-A again, you know. So they gave me lots of grief about that. But
sometimes it's survival.
It was survival. Well, you know, it's like, okay, well, you know, I had to do it, a means to an end, you know, to get the book written so that we could go back to the table.
Right. And, you know, I don't have kids of my own, but I've heard a lot of parents say some of the best conversations they've had with their kids have been the one-on-one moment in the minivan or in the car.
Yep.
Can you relate to that at all? Or?
Oh, absolutely. And especially, and there's actually, you know, studies that show too, the parallel conversations. And so when you're not directly looking, you know, at someone, which is how, once we're evolved, you know, that would be ideal, right? And that's really as adults how we prefer to communicate, you know, but as the children's brains and whatnot are growing, sometimes conversations are hard and there's this uncomfort. And so sitting beside someone, you know, so if a kid's in the front seat or just behind you a little bit, there's this room. My kids, that is the best. It has been one of the best times of communication in the car. And I don't know, just that threatening. I mean, I don't know why we're threatening, but, you know, as a mother, or if there was what it is, but it is hands down, I support whatever, you know, smart study said that.
Yeah, and one of my girlfriends, she had made a parallel to the car being the conversations in the car, even just among adults, have been another avenue to therapy. Like,
yes,
there's just something about that. Maybe it's a confined space, but also it's like it's a foreign space too. I don't know. I'm not sure what it is about the car, but I can totally relate. Like, I've had a lot of some of my most meaningful conversations in the driveway, dropping someone off in the car.
Yeah. No, I agree. So now maybe that, you know, since I'm in the minivan as much or more than I am sometimes at the kitchen table, maybe, you know, just reimagining that we're still sitting together, you know, and that's the important part.
Absolutely.
Is that it's just
it's time. That, it's making time, that,
again,
I think.
It is making time. And again, that trusting that God will provide, you know, whether it's a picnic table, a kitchen table, or, you know, a fold down table in the back of a beat up minivan, you know?
Right.
Whatever that is.
All right. Kristen, you've shared two things so far that, and I think a number of our listeners will connect to. I think we all love food. Especially in the Salvation Army. You're going to learn that when you join us. We love our food. And then the second, just being a mother and the season of life of being in the minivan. So a lot of our ladies are already connecting. Now, for our third, if you knew me, you would know, we always encourage our guests to, you know, really go a level deeper, something that some of our ladies can truly feel understood, because the guest on our show knows that experience as well. So if you're willing, we hope that you will share something personal to you at your comfort level. So Kristen, if we knew you, we would know.
My life verse, the one that, and I mentioned it earlier, is Romans 12:13. And the translation that I love the most is that of The Voice. And it says, take every opportunity to open your life and home to others. And that is, it is essentially the hospitality verse. Mm. And I love it. But it is hard. Yeah. And even as you know, someone who has sort of stumbled into being dubbed, you know, a leader in this field or whatever, it is a daily surrender to the Lord. And so, you know, the direct answer is, if you knew me, you would know that I have, you know, more challenges than I do answers, of course, on all of this, and that I'm not really an expert. I'm just living it aloud, you know, or in front of everybody, you know, and I fall back into all my defaults, too. One of the most interesting things I had to learn was the difference in entertainment and hospitality, and so my default is entertainment, because, you know, that's when, you know, we want people, you know, through my own, you know, sort of what it bases on is my own sin pattern or my trap, which would be pride. I want people to like me. And so how do I want to do that? I perform. So entertainment really is performance, correct? You know, but hospitality, the Greek root of that means love of strangers. Mm. And so that really is from a place of service and, you know, has zero room for, you know, for pride. And so, you know, I have felt moments of both, you know, and so God has been gracious and given me moments, not for my glory, so that I would know how to be hospitable, but so that I would be able to identify when I'm on the right track in the future. And yet still my default, you know, I get caught up in the, oh, does my house look okay? Or, is this going to be good? Or is this food going to be good enough? Or do I have enough? Or all of the things that really have nothing to do with loving strangers.
You know, hospitality, I feel, you said it has a true meaning, or the root, you shared the root meaning, but we all view it a little differently, right? Like, my husband, I think I've shared this before on the Prepare podcast, he has a spiritual gift of hospitality. But to his version of hospitality is a little different than mine. Mine is, come on in. The house might be a little in disarray, but you are welcome. But my husband, he's like, well, Sarah, like, how is that a welcoming environment? Like, how are you making people comfortable by our laundry being out? Like, and dog toys everywhere, or the, right, you know, whatever, dishes all over the place. Like, you didn't make the space special for them at all, you know. So it's, but in, when we have people over, he's in the kitchen getting drinks ready, making coffee, bringing it out on a tray, and because he wants them to feel special. He's not trying to impress them, but he wants, right, them to feel special. And that's his method. And my method is, I want you to feel special, and I'm going to sit right by you, and we're going to play this game, or talk it through. So there's, you know, there's not necessarily a right or wrong way to do it. And I think that's where a lot of people can get caught up in, like, in thinking it's one way. And his way's not right, my way's not right, but I think it's the heart. If your heart is right, then you'll have a hospitable space for people.
Absolutely. And I just love the example, you know, of, but look how perfectly yoked you and your husband are, because then it doesn't, you know, it's like, it goes back to that sort of trusting that everything will be provided. Well, you were there as, you know, to welcome with words and with attention, mm-hmm. while your husband is there to welcome with a warm drink or a, mm-hmm. you know, a yummy appetizer or something. And so it's not, you're right, it's not either or, it's both and that's a sweet spot. Where we get into trouble, like you said, though, is just that distraction, mm-hmm. that distraction of, you know, it has to be one way or the other. And so quite frankly, you know, that's the beauty of, you know, this outdoor front yard picnic table is big. It's like the greatest hospitality hack ever, you know, yeah. because it is, you know, picnic tables by design are only meant to host like about six people. And so we are present. I mean, and we sit up there and sometimes there's delicious food and sometimes there's not a thing. Mm-hmm. And it's just finding that ebb and flow, but really always knowing whose table, you know, and why we're gathering.
We don't have enough time for it, but I really would love to hear your thoughts. Maybe you'll share about it at the conference or maybe in another space or maybe in your book. Can you actually, well, first, before I say what I'm going to say, can you share about your book a little bit?
Yes. So it's called The Turquoise Table, and it's available wherever books are sold and just came out this past year. And it goes through practical steps. It's got, you know, just very simple ways to take those first baby steps, you know, to getting to know your neighbors it's all woven through Romans 12:13. Mm-hmm. And so it is part narrative of my story, but not so much to share my story as encouragement, you know, just so that you could see, you know, how it evolved, and then practical, fun information. There's recipes and there's, you know, conversation starters. And so it really is a book that's supposed to be, you know, underlined and well used and referenced as well as, you know, just to read.
Wonderful. We'll put up a few links in our show notes with, for your website so people could, you know, check you out fully and see all the resources you have to offer. But what I was going to say before was the other piece of hospitality in the Christian life that I'd love to hear your thoughts on at some point is the welcoming in our churches.
Yes.
And creating a hospitable space for people to feel like they belong from the moment they get there, where they don't feel like they have to fit a mold of some kind or know the right people or know the right songs or what it might be, but how to really make a safe and welcoming, hospitable space, not just at our homes, but in our churches.
Yes.
So I'd love to hear if you ever have time, I'd love to maybe have you back on the show or maybe you'll talk about
Absolutely.
That at the conference.
Or we could talk about it, but I'm going to leave you with a teaser because it's not exactly what people might think, but I would give two words to that. And the first one is listen. And the second is vulnerability. So let's circle back. I'd love to have that conversation or we can make it part of the pre-conference.
Awesome.
And I'm so excited about that. Oh, we're going to have so much fun.
Yeah.
We really are. It's, I'm honored and delighted. So
yeah.
Thank you.
Agreed. It's going to be special. I really look forward to that pre-conference time of Arise and Shine. Okay, Kristen, thank you so much. This has been a real joy for me and I know for our listeners. Thank you for giving us part of your day.
Oh, it is. I mean, thank you. And I just can't wait until October.
Yay. Okay, thanks.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you again for tuning in to the Prepare Podcast. Stay tuned for coming episodes with more of our guests from Arise and Shine. And do not forget that early bird registration opens on March 12th, and there's only 200 spots for the pre-conference. There's about 2,000 spots for the entire conference, but for the pre-conference, only 200 spots. So go to centralwomenarise.com to sign up for email reminders and updates, and you can even text the phrase Arise and Shine, Altogether, no spaces, arise and shine to the number 51555 for a text message reminder on March 12th when registration opens. There's a real deal if you register early between March and July. So go to the website to find out more details, centralwomenarise.com. We'll see you in February.